And I'm going to read actually a poem I haven't read yet. This is a new poem, sort of written out of anger for our present administration, which is kind of the motivation for every poem of mine. I don't know what's going to happen when the guy ends out of office. I'm going to go fallow. I live by a big park in Brooklyn called Prospect Park. This poem is called Prospect. It starts with a duck, a white duck, dumped on the crack macadam after Easter, in the green sward, the forward seeming, the open extensive aspect, the park. A snug room constructed of dragonflies and damselflies, a stab at transporting moments. It's a bat box, a curio, a paddock for the calving of next year's army, their draw knives, their spokeshaves, their adz and axes, their plumage. The king is installed, a nestling, beard-tongued and blue-headed, his chuck-chuck call, his maxims, reinforced with rods and cement to compose a rural geography. He's lush and naturalistic. He gleams his tiny gleamings. He gleams, he gleams, he gleams. The army slides its red ears arm on. The army is fiercely nostalgic. The windows of the houses are beset with lamps. The windows of the houses are mirrors in which vireos, finches, warblers, thrushes, chickadees, flickers, and sparrows and doves are bayoneted by light. The warp and the woof of the mobbing existence, the warp and the woof of nostalgia. A cursory exploration of the duck. A white duck dumped on the macadam. A white duck rushing full tilt. The little lordling, the yellow-legged king, in his beautiful flute-like impatience, fences the bedraggled middle of the decade, orders up heavy machinery. The sharp shing-kinglet improves upon nature. He knocks it about in his splendid dish. The army gets trapped between skyscrapers, dazzled. The army sinks into the records. The white duck, an orphan of baskets, paddles the park air with her wide-lobed feet. The white duck approaches for meaning. The king has the humble valleys disrobed. The king conquers the wind caves. The army, stockyard dummies the lot, reaches a crumpled appearance of repose. Nobody says a word. They stare. All at once, the flash cubes are popping. Months pass. 4,000 tadpoles grow up and croak. The lake is a giant bathtub in which the white duck discovers to float. The tenacious earth clings to its dogwoods and yews. The king is x-rayed for bullets pell-mell. Time is not kind to the gatehouse. There is a certain sylvan beauty to the trees as the weight of their own limbs pulls them asunder. The king cuts the weather to ribbons. He sighs. The army will winter over. Arguably an eyesore, the shapeless stump of the sibyl arches her drab brown brow. Have you considered the prospect, she asks, plain-spoken, that your duck might be a goose? A white goose, or a white duck, interpreted artificially, sleeping in the moonlight upon a park bench, a vagrant, a tin-cup philosopher. The king coughs an enchanting cough. The army pounces upon it. Whole families take to lunching on graveyard grasses, grazing like common sheep, while the duck tucks one knee up so as to occupy the smallest of spaces, while on the orbital and radial roadways, in the viaducts and tunnels and aerodromes, at the docks, in the rail stations, bus depots, promenades, the king arrives. He squints his eyes, decreeing allegorical landscapes. The dictionary is announced to the world. I had this domestic duck follow me, imprint itself onto me and try to follow me home while I was in the park, and I got very concerned for it, which was the genesis of that poem, although I thought that somebody probably dumped it out of an Easter basket, and I thought, well, this is a domestic duck. It's not going to be able to survive here. I was calling the park service, whatever. A few months later, there were black and white mottled ducks in the park. I mean, this duck had just gone back to nature.